One of these days, just not today, I'm going to say, you can pick up a pew Bible. That day's coming. It'll come. So, in case you brought your own Bible, you can find Acts chapter 2. Michelle indicated that today is the day of Pentecost. Days after the Passover, we celebrate the day of Pentecost, or at least good Jews would celebrate the day of Pentecost, and the Christians celebrate a particular Pentecost. I would like to read a few verses from Acts chapter 2 for you, and I hope not to keep you here past noon much. Last Sunday, Michelle and I worshiped with a congregation in a historic building on St. Simon's Island, Christ Episcopal Church, and we heard a marvelous sermon, all 14 and a half minutes of it, and I was reminded that you can say a lot in a short period of time. From Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, hear the word of the Lord. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We do celebrate today Pentecost, but what we really celebrate is that first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus. We've claimed Pentecost Sunday as a time to remember the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and what we often refer to as the birth of the church. I would remind you from the book of Acts as well, Acts 1:8, the promise that Jesus gave to his disciples before he ascended. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And what we celebrate today is the fulfillment of that promise, that you will receive power. And so I want to talk today, I want to remind you really of some things that I think you already know. And if it's new information, then that's okay. New information is good. First, I would remind you that the gift of the Holy Spirit, as we often refer to this day, is really the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, not the giving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, eternally existent with the Father and the Son. And that Spirit is worshipped with the Father and the Son and praised as one God forever. The Holy Spirit was present on earth before the day of Pentecost. He was at work. We hear even in the Old Testament that the Spirit of God came upon Samson and gave him great power, the ability to be able to do great things, powerful deeds. The Spirit of God was with David, the anointed of God. He gave utterance to the Word of God through the prophets in the Old Testament. And even in the New Testament, we have references to the Holy Spirit before this day. The Spirit of God descending as a dove and resting upon Jesus. The Holy Spirit was present in the world and certainly existent eternally before this day. So what happened on the day of Pentecost that was different? The Holy Spirit was poured out upon all believers. Before, the Holy Spirit had always been specific. It had been for a person to empower them for a specific deed, and it was understood as sort of a transient presence. It would come and go as needed. But on the day of Pentecost, God changed His mode of operation. The Holy Spirit was no longer to be a specific empowerment for a limited period of time, but was to be poured out generously in abundance upon all who believe. His powerful presence, the person of the Holy Spirit, God Himself in spirit form, was now available to indwell a believer in Jesus Christ in order to give them power. We'll come back around and talk about what kind of power the Holy Spirit gives to every believer. The second thing I want to call to your attention is that this particular day, this day of Pentecost, there was indeed a very special infilling or baptism of the disciples. And I would remind you or point out in Scripture that this special infilling, this filling up to the full capacity that happened on the day of Pentecost, was not limited to the 11 apostles. There are some interesting teachings present in our world about the day of Pentecost and all that went on. A careful reading of the book of Acts, or possibly even a not so careful reading of the second chapter of Acts, will indicate clearly that all who were present together, all of the disciples that were gathered in that place together, were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came at the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and a visual presence as of fire that divided and rested upon each one, and every person present in that room received a special filling with the Holy Spirit, a special amount, a special presence and baptism with the Holy Spirit. And they did special things. And we tend to be impressed, and we tend to concentrate on the special things that they did that day, like they spoke in other languages. Very clear. Read for yourself the second chapter of Acts. They spoke in other languages. This is not a gift of an unknown tongue, some ecstatic utterance that other people can't understand. This was a special gift of communication so that other people who were not necessarily able to understand the language that the disciples knew how to speak could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They spoke in other languages. And Luke lists for us various people groups who heard Peter's sermon in their own language. And it's a long list of various people groups and their languages that heard the gospel that day because of this special gift to the apostles to be able to communicate in languages that other people could understand. Today, I really don't want to draw your attention anymore to that particular special kind of event, that amazing, fantastic gift of other languages. It happened, it had a purpose, and we have even occurrences today where people in certain circumstances have received the ability to either acquire or even miraculously speak and understand a foreign language in order to be able to communicate the gospel with people. But what I would really like to draw your attention to is the Holy Spirit's transforming power that is given to those who receive the infilling on that day of Pentecost. And by doing so, just to tantalize you with the possibility that the same Spirit that entered that upper room and filled those disciples gathered there can fill your life. And the same transforming power that was given to those disciples can be given to you for the same purpose it was given to them. Do you remember Peter? Let's just do a little review of Peter. Peter, the brash fisherman. I identify with him. If you had known me when I was 15, you would understand. That was the brash part of me. And today you know the fisherman part of me. And hopefully, time, experience, and a lot of grace has sort of tempered some of the brashness. But I understand Peter's mentality in a very personal way, especially the fishing part. Okay, and especially the brash part, too. But do you remember Peter? He's an excitable type. He's the one that God blessed with the knowledge to confess Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. This great truth upon which the Christian church is founded. Peter was also quick to draw a sword and try to defend Jesus the night that they came to arrest him. But that very same night that he drew a sword and was willing to take on a whole garrison of troops to defend Jesus from being arrested, he stood in a little courtyard and repeatedly denied that he was associated with Jesus, because all of a sudden he was afraid for his life, afraid that he might be somehow associated with Jesus in a way that would implicate him and he would end up being part of what was happening to Jesus, being tried and ultimately executed. And he denies even knowing him. And this is the same Peter who, along with the other apostles and disciples of Jesus, have remained in sort of a holy huddle in Jerusalem, hiding from the same religious authorities who had arrested and had Jesus put to death. In fear for their lives, they have cloistered away and remained hidden. This is Peter the fearful, Peter the scared, Peter the weak. And yet today, for your hearing, I read the words of Scripture that says, after, right, after the Holy Spirit has come, this same Peter stood up. The 11 are there, but he makes himself known. He gets up on something so people can see him. And he boldly declares the gospel of Jesus. He not only addresses the crowd and explains what's going on, but if we were to read his whole sermon, we wouldn't be able to preach 14 minutes or so if we did that. But he accuses in public, in a loud voice, the very same people he was running from and hiding from and afraid that they were going to take his life. He accuses them publicly, openly, loudly, and boldly that they have murdered God's Messiah. You couldn't levy any greater charge against any Jewish person at any time in history. Here's this scaredy cat, gone turn tail when Jesus was arrested and run away and gone into hiding. And one thing changes in his life. One thing happens to him, and all of a sudden he's willing to stand up in the public square and accuse the murderers of Jesus of putting to death the Messiah of God, and not only accuse them, but call them to repent and believe in Jesus for the salvation of their soul. How can you explain this instantaneous transformation of a man in fear of his life, running scared, to a man who will face death again and again and again, willingly admit to being a follower of Jesus. Go before the Sanhedrin and declare to them, knowing what it will cost him by way of public beating, he will deny their authority and say, we must obey God rather than men. We will preach in the name of Jesus. This is the same Peter that stands up and boldly declares the gospel of Jesus in Jerusalem. What is the difference? The difference is the Holy Spirit is now inside of Peter. Peter's head had all kinds of knowledge. He knew about Jesus. He had had this great insight. He knew all about Jesus. He knew he was the Messiah. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew he had that Jesus had power, but he didn't have it inside. He didn't have that empowering presence of God transforming his human frailty into divine strength until God poured out his Holy Spirit on the believers gathered in that room that day of Pentecost, the first one after the resurrection. And the prophecy that he quotes from Joel, that prophecy says that in the last days, after the Messiah comes, God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. In case you were curious, we are still living in those days. That time period has not ended. This blessing, this gift of God, this outpouring of his Holy Spirit has not come to an end. It's available today. Christian people, believers in Jesus, those who have believed upon Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, they have the gift of the Holy Spirit as sort of a promise in a general way. We believe. When I say we, I really probably should say the great group of Christians, but very specifically the Church of the Nazarene believes and teaches that we can be filled in a very special way after we are saved. After we have believed in Jesus and professed our faith in him and had forgiveness of our sins, very much like the apostles and disciples in that room received a special infilling of the Holy Spirit for empowerment, to empower holy living, to give them boldness in the face of fear, to give them the power to be Jesus witnesses all over the world. We still believe that God gives that gift of the Spirit to believers in a special way. We don't believe that you have to dance a jig when you get the Holy Spirit, okay? You don't have to stand up and speak in some unknown tongue that nobody has ever heard or ever will again, probably, that none of us can understand. As a matter of fact, the only external evidence of the gift of the Holy Spirit that we believe is valid is holy living. That the Holy Spirit gets inside of you in a special filling way so you have the power to live like Jesus. To be like him, to act like him, to respond like him, and that more and more and more and more as the Holy Spirit empowers you for transformation into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Sometimes Christians wonder, why am I defeated? Why do I seem to be unable to live up to what I know I should do? I'm convinced it's because they haven't surrendered themselves to the filling of the Holy Spirit. Today, on this day of Pentecost, when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, I would ask you to bow your heads with me as we close this service in a little over 14 minutes. As we close this service and ask yourself a question. simple question. That question would be, have you believed in the filling with the Holy Spirit? That God can and will provide a special gift of the Holy Spirit to you to empower you for holy living. Have you believed that? His Word teaches it. If you have believed that, then ask the question, have you asked for that gift? Have you asked for that gift? If you start asking for that gift, it is very possible that God may point out something in your life. That God may let you know what the last holdout in your life is that prevents that infilling presence of the Holy Spirit. What gets in the way of Him having His way with you. If He makes that known to you, I encourage you, confess it, surrender it, let it go. There is nothing in this world worth preventing God in the Holy Spirit from having full control of your life. And that empowering presence of the Holy Spirit holds the promise of a transformed life, a life that has the power of God to overcome the obstacles of the world, even to live in constant fellowship with God. I ask you, would you ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit, even where you sit? Would you ask for that gift that He has given to His disciples who were gathered together in one place? We're gathered together today. And if you feel like He gives you that gift, would you give Him thanks? Would you thank Him for the gift of the Holy Spirit? I pray that if you have received the Holy Spirit in a special way today, I would ask that maybe you find a way in the next few days of letting me know. You can reach me by email, by telephone, by cell phone. You can even talk to me with human words. My ears still work mostly. And I can read postcards. Remember, the purpose of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the primary purpose for being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, is to empower your life for holy living, so that the very personality of Jesus can be created within you, so that you will act and react and think just like Jesus would if He were in your shoes. That is my prayer for you today, that you would be so filled with the Holy Spirit of God that in every circumstance, in every moment of your life, you would act and react just like Jesus would. Let's pray together today. Gracious Heavenly Father, today I pray that we gathered here in this place would be recipients of the Holy Spirit of God. In a general way, yes, but in that special way, that we call filling with the Holy Spirit, so that we would have our lives empowered by Your powerful presence to be just like Jesus. Make us today, I pray, like Him through the indwelling presence of Your Holy Spirit, even as we surrender ourselves to You, to Your authority and Your work in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Today, we pray, bless those who have come into Your house. Bless each one in that special way that they most need it this week. And dismiss us with Your blessing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.